11 of the 12 members of the Massachusetts congressional delegation are imploring the New York Times Company to do what it can to keep the Boston Globe in business. In a letter from the members to the Times chairman, Arthur Sulzberger, Jr., the delegation calls the Globe an immense asset to Boston and all of New England. The Times, which owns the Globe, has threatened to close the Globe unless Globe unions agree to $20 million worth of union contract cost-cutting by Friday. Negotiators from both sides meet today. The Globe is not alone in facing severe financial problems. Major newspapers in other cities are also in jeopardy. Take the San Francisco Chronicle. Last month, its unions agreed to concessions to keep the paper afloat, and the Minneapolis Star Tribune, nicknamed the Strib, also faces an uncertain future. Its owners are asking a bankruptcy judge to allow it to abandon a union contract. To compare the paper's struggles, we turn to media analysts in both cities. David Brower is a journalist in Minneapolis who writes about media for the website MinPost.com, and Louis Friedberg is founder and director of the California Media Collaborative, a group working to develop new ways to cover the news. We started by asking Louis Friedberg how bad things are at the Chronicle.
The Chronicle has been losing approximately $1 million a week for most of this decade. So the Hearst Corporation, which bought the Chronicle in around 2000, basically came to the union and said, listen, we're going to have to make major reductions. So the union, basically caved. I mean, they had no choice. But in order to save some jobs, they did agree to over 150 layoffs, effectively buyouts.
And is more of that expected? Is that enough for the Hearst Corporation, or is there a continuing effort to reduce costs even more?
Continuing, because there's no way this would put the Chronicle back into the black, even with those cuts. And talking with people at the paper, some people think, well, they'll be lucky if they still have the job by the end of the year.
David Brower, let me ask you about Minneapolis. As we mentioned, a bankruptcy judge may decide whether owners of the Star Tribune, which you call the Strib, will be able to abandon their union contract. Can you briefly explain the financial picture for the Strib and the strategy of asking a bankruptcy judge to allow a company not to honor a union contract?
The irony here is that we're the only paper in bankruptcy, and yet we're probably the healthiest of the three listening to the other two of you. The Star Tribune, through last year, did not lose money on an operating basis. It was making money. The factor in our case is that 2 years ago, venture capitalists bought the paper. They paid approximately $500 million for it. As we now know, that was way too much. So even though they've made money as a business, they haven't been able to service any of their debt, and that's led to the bankruptcy filing. No union contracts have been thrown out. Instead, they've sort of been renegotiated at gunpoint.
David, should going to bankruptcy court by a newspaper owner be a wake-up call for other unions?
I think it has to be. You have to remember, in Minneapolis especially, the unions have been quite powerful, quite successful. They've had a 40-year winning streak, essentially, in terms of negotiating contracts. So the idea that a judge could come in and undo a lot of very carefully laid things that had been built over the years, is a real head-snapper.
Has journalism been affected at the Star Tribune because of the financial difficulties?
Well, if you didn't know that our paper was in bankruptcy, I think you would say no. It's actually a harder newspaper, at least what's left of it today, than it was a few years ago.
Louis Friedberg, what's the situation in San Francisco? Have the financial problems affected the journalism at the Chronicle?
Well, clearly, there is still good journalism being done, but less and less of it.
Are there private buyers interested in the Chronicle?
There's been some talk in the last few weeks about some philanthropists. If the paper is making money, which is somewhat the case in Minneapolis, that's one thing. But to get private investors to take over a paper that's losing large sums of money, I think that's the tall order.
The San Francisco Chronicle's owners, the Hearst Corporation, also own the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, which recently went to an online-only edition. And I'm asking this question because people are wondering if this may happen to the Globe. What happens when a newspaper shut down? Does it just stop printing one day?
We don't know what's going to happen. So, what's happening in Seattle is kind of a case study. And what happened there is that the PI, as it's called, is being run with about 20 5 news gatherers, it's called. That's compared to 165 people who were in the newsroom before. In the last couple of weeks since this happened, the readership of this online version is declining quite precipitously. So there's no guarantee that if you become an online-only operation with a radically downscaled staff, that your previous visitors will stay.
David Brower in Minneapolis. At MinnPost.com, you ask readers to donate. Is that the future?
I sometimes joke that our economic model is maybe the one that makes the most sense, which is the generosity of rich people. And we are less dependent on advertising than a traditional media outlet, but we do have it. We basically have memberships, and we also have, for now, foundation support because they are interested in investing in the next thing. But my boss, Joel Kramer, who's a former editor and publisher of the Star Tribune, wants to be off of the foundation support by 2011 or 2012, which means we're going to have to go to a more membership-oriented model like public radio. I think there's a chance of that.
I want to ask both of you another question. Will life without a newspaper, if that's what happens in San Francisco and Minneapolis, change much in those cities? Are readers of these two newspapers clamoring for their survival? Or is there an attitude in this economy of, well, if they go, they go?
This is a demographic thing, an age thing, that as young people grow up, who've grown up on the internet, they're just not going to read papers. So I think the long-term view is that life will go on. We're just hopeful that we'll be able to invent a new form of underwriting the news.
And David Brower in Minneapolis.
There's a substantial minority of people that would be heartbroken, completely heartbroken. But these papers, while still the mass news medium in town, are becoming less and less mass all the time.
David Brower, Louis Friedberg, thank you very much for speaking with Morning Edition.
My pleasure.
Thank you, and good luck out there.
Louis Friedberg is founder and director of the California Media Collaborative. David Brower is a journalist in Minneapolis who writes about media for MinnPost.com.